Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that this message will be an encouragement to you. And that's my heart's desire, that as I share the Word of God with you, that God's Word will touch you, and God's Word will bless you, and it will be what it's sent out to do. It will accomplish what it's sent out to do, and God will touch your heart today that you may be encouraged in Him no matter what your need is. Today I want you to realize that God's Word, the Bible, is just not a book. It's the living Word of God. And when we get in the living Word of God, it will go down to the uttermost part of our being, and God will deal with us. So if you need a touch today, if you need help today, call on Jesus. And I know that through His Word, He will bless you. But before I get in the Word, I want to pray with you. Lord, what a day You have given to us. We know, Lord, that with You all things are possible. And I pray for the congregation that listens today, no matter where they're at, that You touch them in a special way. You know the needs upon the altars of their hearts. There are those that are listening today, Lord, that have a physical need and they need healing. There are many under the sound of My voice that are not born again. Give them revelation knowledge that they must be born again. And let them know that the only way into You, God the Father, is through Your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on Calvary, that when that blood is applied to our souls, that our sins are washed away, never to be bought up against us anymore. And I pray, Lord, for those that need encouragement, those that are depressed and downhearted and under severe attack, that, Lord, You help them this day. As David encouraged himself in the Lord, we encourage ourselves in You this day, we pray. And Lord, we have to pray for our nation. God, that You please come down and touch our nation, touch the leaders of our country. Somehow, some way, bring revival to this land. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about leading on softly. You know, in this world today, as I look across the country and I see the turmoil that's going on, and I remember the word that God gave me some years back. I was preaching in a revival in Tazewell, Virginia. And God gave me a word for the church and for everyone that's listening today. He said there will either be fire in the churches, meaning a Holy Ghost power, revival fire, or there will be fire in the streets, a little fire. What He was saying, if we do not have the fire of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of God in our churches, in our lives, then the disruption and the hatred and the separation, fire in our streets. And we're seeing that now as rioting and trouble, and every hand there's an upheaval going on. And the only remedy, listen, the only remedy for peace in our lives and in America is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Man cannot bring it. If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek the face of God, God said He would hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their land. That is remedy for deliverance and revival. If our nation will not pray that way, and our cities will not pray that way, then we ourselves must pray that way, that revival will come into our hearts and into our land. I don't know if revival will sweep the nation, but I do know revival is coming to a remnant of people who believe God and are sold out, not half-steppers. I'm seeing a lot of people who are half-stepping on God. They'll go to church for an hour or so on Sunday, and then that's about it. I remember when we used to have a Sunday night service, a Wednesday night service, and when we had revival, it would go from beginning to the end of the week, but now that is a thing of the past. People can hardly make it in through a three-night service. But let me tell you something. We've got to get serious with God because we're in a serious time. And God is dealing with the hearts of the people. And as never have I seen a rampant of sin and immorality and a time of hatred toward Christians and persecution all over the country of Christians, not of faith, but of Christians. And we are in a time that I truly believe that soon Jesus is going to break the clouds of glory. And today I want to ask you a question. Today, if your soul should be required of you, where would you spend eternity? You are the one and the only one that can choose that, your destiny. You and you alone only choose the destiny where you'll spend eternity. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you choose to spend eternity separated from Him in a place called hell. But if you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you choose to live according to His Word, you have a destiny of heaven throughout eternity, but the choice is yours. Man cannot make that choice, only you can do that. But today I want to talk to you about leading on softly, how the Lord does not drive His people. You know, the devil will drive people. I see people that are hooked on drugs and they can't get off. They'll say, I won't do it again. I'm going to straighten up. And the next thing you know, that thing has a bite on them, has a hold on them. It goes into their system and it poisons their system and it destroys their way of thinking, and they become vile, and the drugs and the alcohol and the immorality takes over their life. You see, sin does not come single. Sin comes in packages. You get one thing and the others come with it. But today I want you to know, no matter what you're caught up in, no matter how you're bound or what has a hold on you, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free. The anointing of the Holy Ghost can break that yoke of bondage that's on you today. And the Lord can set you free and give you a heart and a mind that's right and heal your body and set you free from the addiction that you're under, no matter what it is. And if you call out to God, God will lead you on, lead you into the paths of righteousness, lead you into all truth, and lead you into a life that's abundant and full of joy. We've been told all of our lives that being a Christian is hard. It's not. Being a Christian is not hard. Being a transgressor is hard, for the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. And that hardness shows up in your heart, and it shows up on your exterior. I've seen people that you could see the hardness on them, and when they spoke of the abundance of the heart is what they speak of, the evil and the vile, and the heart becomes hard. Each time you turn God away, your heart gets a little bit harder and harder. But today, if you'll have an encounter with Jesus, just call on Him. You'll see a change in your life, for He said, I'll in no way turn you away. I won't reject you. If you call with Him sincerity, call on the name of Jesus, He'll come down and He'll touch you and He'll forgive you of your sins. But you must repent of your sins and receive Him as your Savior. Today I want to read out of the book of Genesis. This is a beautiful scripture. And I want to read out of chapter 33. I want to start with verse 13. And He said, My Lord knoweth, and this is Jacob talking to his brother Esau. Now, if you remember, Jacob and Esau were twins. And Esau, being the firstborn of the two, received the full inheritance of his father. And Jacob was to get a portion because he was considered to be the secondborn. But the Bible says that there came a day that Esau, who was a great hunter, had been out in the fields hunting. And he came home and was, he thought, starving to death. And Jacob had a big pot of stew cooking. And he asked Jacob for some stew. And this is what Jacob said. If you sell me your birthright, I'll give you something to eat. And Esau, for a bowl of stew, sold his birthright to Jacob. That was his inheritance of his father. That was it to be the inheritance of his children that were to come. That would be his status in the family. And he sold it all for a bowl of soup and a moment of fleshly hunger. I'm seeing that everywhere I go this day, that people are selling out for something as less as a bowl of stew or a cup of soup. Selling out their birthright, not caring what has been given to them or the inheritance that lays ahead. I'm seeing people that are only living for the now, only living to be pleased for now, Only living to be happy now. Only living to be satisfied now. Only their hungers and their cravings to be satisfied in the moment. Never looking ahead of what it's going to cost them. See, what you sell out today for is going to cost you in your future. Let me repeat that. What you sell out for today, what you sell out for today is going to cost you in your future. You see, you have the right to choose what you want to do. You have the right to choose where you want to go. You have that right to choose. But you do not have the right to choose the consequence that goes with your choice. See, you may choose something today and you think this is good and I'm going to have a good time. This is going to satisfy me. But you're not looking beyond tomorrow or the moment or the second. You're not looking to what it's going to cost you. The old saying, and I've quoted many times, sin will cost you more than you want to pay, take you further than you want to go, and keep you longer than you want to stay. Beware, my friend, of what you're selling out to today. I know people that have sold their family and their children and their loved ones out for the drug scene and the promiscuous way of living and the troublesome times that they've chosen. They chose that way and they sold out. But let me tell you something today. If you'll come to God and you repent of your sin and acknowledge what you've done, God can bring you back into fellowship and God can give you peace in your soul. And that's what happened. Jacob and Esau were then separated, and there came a bitter rival in between them. But the time had come that Jacob was coming back into the land, and he was going to have to face his Esau. Listen, I don't care what you've done or who you've been betrayed or what act you've done. What Jacob done was wrong. He got the birthright and his father's blessing through trickery and through deceit. But he, too, had to meet his Esau. Some of you, you don't realize it. You've done things in the past, but you're going to have to meet your Esau. There's coming a day you're going to have to reckon with your past. You're going to have to reckon with what you've done. There's a song my husband used to sing, and so powerful were the words, "Nobody's record but my own." When I stand before God on that great judgment day, I'll face nobody's record but my own. And I want you to realize, for you that are listening, when you stand before God, you're going to face nobody's record but your own. You're not going to be able to lay it and put the blame on anybody the way you've lived. You chose that way. You chose to go down the path. You chose to sell out. You chose to deceive. And it's nobody's record but your own. But today I pray that you'll choose Jesus in the right way and the right path. And as Jacob was going to meet his brother, he didn't know what he was going to encounter. So he broke up his family. He broke up his caravan. He broke them up in parts. So if Esau came with his warriors, which he had 400 horsemen with him, that if he killed one group, he wouldn't get them all. Jacob was afraid to face what he was going to face. And he sent presents ahead to kind of soothe the way for Esau when he met him, trying to soften up his heart. And as he sent these out, he stayed behind. And in Genesis chapter 32, we read where Jacob had an encounter with the Lord that night before the morning came and he was to meet Esau. He had an encounter with the Lord and he wrestled with the Lord all that night. And he told him, he said, "I'm not going to let you go." He held on to the Lord. He said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Jacob realized that he could not go on the way he was. Jacob realized that he had to have not a touch from a friend, not a touch from a family member, not a touch from a system, not a touch from the government. He had to have a touch from God. And he wrestled that night with the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord touched him in his hip, and from that day forward, Jacob walked with a limp where the Lord had touched him. You know, when the Lord touches you, the flesh is touched. When the Lord touches you, the flesh has to go. And that was a reminder to Jacob the rest of his life that flesh will get you in trouble, but only the Lord can restore the inner being and the inner soul. And that night, as he wrestled with the Lord, his name was changed from Jacob, and in verse 27, of the 32nd chapter of Genesis, and he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, the Lord said, he's talking to Jacob, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed. He is saying here, you try to get power with man through fleshly attempts, but I'm changing your name to Israel, Prince of God. See, before you can be a prince, you got to let the old man and the old flesh go. See, when you're born again, you're joint heirs with Jesus. We're joint heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, but flesh has to get out of its way. And now here in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 33, when now Israel was now facing his Esau, this is what he said. And he said unto him, My Lord knoweth, this is Israel, who was Jacob talking to Esau, My Lord knoweth the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds are young, are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord at Seir. Here Jacob, who is now Israel, met his brother Esau. And Esau wanted Jacob to come on right then and follow him and his mighty men and to go to the place they were going to meet. And Israel said, I can't do it because the ones with me are young and my children are with me and they're tender and the cattle. If I overdrive them, if I run them hard, if I run them at your pace, they'll die. They won't be able to make the trip. And he said, I must lead on softly. And when I read that scripture, I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful illustration that is. He knew he couldn't push them or overdrive them. He must lead them on softly. And when I read this, I saw the love of Jesus. I saw the love of our Master. I saw the love of the one who leads us, that he leads us on softly, that he does not drive us or does not put anything on us that we're not able to bear up under. You see, the Lord knows the journey that is ahead of you. The Lord knows the journey that is ahead of me. A lot of times we worry about what is going to happen to us and what is going to happen to our children. And we pace back and forth and we worry and we dread and we fear. But you have to realize, like Israel knew that day, he could not push or drive his family. He had to lead them on softly. That's the way the Lord looks at us. He will lead us on softly, even through the battlefields, even through the trials, even through the troubles. He said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, no matter what it is. It can't separate us as long as we follow him. He will lead us softly through. The term softly, lead on gently, lead on softly means this. It won't be to the hurt of our souls. It won't be to the destructions of our being, but it will be to a place where we're blessed and kept in safety. See, Israel was looking for the safety of his family, looking for the security of his family. You see, in that group that he was leading on softly, in that group that he was leading on and taking care of was a young lad named Joseph. And one day Joseph would go into Egypt, and Joseph, going through many trials and many things, would save many people through the wisdom which God would give him, and it caused a time of famine that the people would be fed and that he would even restore his own family. And the Lord could see even ahead that in that company there was precious souls that he would use. And there was one named Joseph. Let me explain something to you. We want to go on at the pace that the world sets. We want to go on and drive on like the world. But God has a pace. God has a path. God has a way. The Bible says the footsteps of a good man or a right way of living man, the one that is in God, he will order the footsteps of a righteous man. God will order your footsteps. God will order my footsteps. But it has to be at his leading and not by what somebody else has said. That's where we get in trouble. We try to pace ourselves to what somebody else is doing. We got to let the Lord lead us. And of course, one of the most famous scriptures that we see of that is in Psalms 23, verse 2. It said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Not troubled waters, not dangerous waters, but the Lord leads us beside still waters, knowing we have to have water to be refreshed and to live. And then it goes on to say in verse 3 of Psalms 23, He restoreth my soul. In the path and the leading that God has for you and me, He will restore that which has been broken down and hurt. And He says, He restoreth my soul. Some of you right now, you're so broken and you're so hurt. Your heart feels like it'll never be right again. But if you'll let the Lord lead you on softly, He'll restore that which you think is destroyed. He'll restore that which is damaged. He can make it new. He can make it afresh. He can restore it. But He says this, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness or the right way of living for His namesake. For His namesake. Not what the desire and the lust of the flesh that we want. Our desire has to be what God wants for us. That's where we get in trouble so many times, by not letting the Lord lead us on softly. We want our desire and what we want when we want it, and it's going to lead us to defeat and destruction. But if we'll let the Lord lead us and lead us on softly, lead us in the paths of righteousness, He'll tell us when to go, when to get up, when to rest. In Psalms 23, all through the shepherd's point, and the Lord is our shepherd, He has provisions on His path. He'll anoint our head with oil so that a hurt and a parasites that would get on us, they have to leave and we are healed. Even in the presence of our enemies, He'll give us a table and He'll cause us to eat. Even in the when we let the Lord lead on softly, even in the presence of our enemies, we will be fed. I'm here to tell you, if you'll let the Lord lead you on softly and quit trying to do it yourself, take your hands off of it and praise Him and get in His path and say, Lord, lead me. So many times, many multi-times, I repeat the prayer of Jehoshaphat. When the armies were coming down on him and the people had no might. They had no way to fight this armies coming. Not a army, but armies coming down on him and his people. He said, Lord, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And as we know, when we read the scripture about Jehoshaphat and his armies, that God gave them the victory in a miraculous way because they knew they had to take their hands off of it and put their eyes on God and let God lead them. And God led them to praise, and praise brought the victory. You never walk a walk of faith and get defeated. A walk of faith is leading on according to God's word, and God's word will not overdrive you. God's word will not lead you into destruction, but God's word will lead you in paths of blessings and righteousness and hope and peace and joy if you'll let the Lord lead in your life. And then it says this, when we let the Lord lead us and we let the Lord order our footsteps, that means we go where He tells us, not where we tell Him. That's the church of today. We want this and we want that and we want this and we want that. But we never ask God, what do you want from us? But you know what? You've got to let the Lord lead you. And when He leads you, He's going to lead you in the right path. And you're not going to be doing wrong. God's grace doesn't help us to do wrong, but it helps us to live right. But He said this, when I'm led in the paths of righteousness, in verse 6 of Psalms 23, it says this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we let the Lord lead on softly in our lives, can you pray that prayer right now? Some of you are so troubled. Some of you are so, and I understand how it is to get a bad report from the lawyer or the judge or the bank or the doctor or from a friend or whatever. But when we let the Lord lead us on softly, as Israel told his brother Esau, I can't overdrive them. I gotta lead them on softly. The Lord wants to lead you on softly today. He loves you. The devil will tell you that you've gone too far, that God don't love you, but he does. He loves you. And if you didn't love him and you didn't have a desire in your heart, you wouldn't even be listening to this message right now. But God is speaking to you. He can lead you on softly with your children. I have never in my life seen a time of turmoil in families like it is now. But if you let God lead you on softly, he can bring peace into your home. He can bring those runaway children home. He can bring those loved ones that are hooked on drugs. He can deliver them and set them free. But we have to be led softly by God. We have to follow his leading. So when we encounter these that we come in contact with, we'll have the right words. We'll have the tools that we need. And it's all found in God's word. I pray today that you're getting up and you're getting ready to go to the house of the Lord. I pray that you're making time for God. For one day on the cross, many years ago, he made time for you on the cross of Calvary. And he shed his blood. He shed his precious blood. That when you come to him and ask forgiveness, that blood applied will wash away your sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I pray today that you'll ask him into your heart and life. And let him lead you on softly. Let him lead you in the paths of righteousness. Let him lead you beside the still waters. Then he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord, meaning in his presence all the days of your life. Don't you want that for your life? Ask it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. Tune in again next week. And if you have a prayer request, write me, and I promise I'll pray for you. But I ask that you pray for me as well. That's a two-way street. God bless you. Lead on. Let the Lord lead you on softly. Be blessed of the Lord and rejoice in him this day. Thank you again for listening.